Star Walker Studios presents Game Master's Journey, a podcast all about tabletop role-playing games from the perspective of the captain's chair. This episode is brought to you by Texas Beard Company. Use the coupon code GAMEMASTER for a 15% discount at texasbeardcompany.com. Mark Gerringer joins me on the show today to discuss his experiences in the RPG hobby, including creating monsters and scenarios published for Pathfinder. So join me on the journey. Together, we can become game masters truly worthy of the title. Hello, listener. Greetings, fellow GM and or player. Welcome to episode 50 of Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. I've got a great show for you today. I'm going to be bringing Mark Gerringer onto the comm to talk about, you guessed it, game mastering and RPGs. Mark used to be a venture captain for the Pathfinder Society, which is Pathfinder Organized Play, and he has had a lot of experiences with Pathfinder, including having monsters and scenarios that he created published by Paizo. So this will be a three-part interview. In today's part, we're going to talk a little bit about Mark's gaming history and experiences, his experience running 5th edition D&D for the first time at Gen Con, and also a little bit about games such as Pathfinder, D&D, 13th Age, and Numenera. But before I get Mark on the show, I wanted to thank some listeners for their wonderful reviews. I've been getting a lot of reviews lately, and I'm very thankful for that. Thank you to everyone who's left a review for the show, whether on iTunes or Stitcher or some other place I don't know about. Which, by the way, if you're leaving a review for the show someplace other than iTunes or Stitcher, please let me know, because I don't know about it, and I'd love to read your review and thank you. Also, something I've recently learned is that when I see my reviews in iTunes, I only see reviews from the United States. So if you're in Canada or Australia or some other country other than the US, I unfortunately do not see your review. iTunes, for some reason, splits itself into different regions, so you only see reviews in your region, which is pretty stupid, but that's iTunes for you. So anyway, if you are from another country and you left a review, I thank you very much, and I apologize that I haven't thanked you, but I unfortunately can't see your review. Sorry. But your reviews are still very much appreciated, because anyone else in your country will see that review. So if you're living in Canada and you review the show, then other people in Canada who go on iTunes will see your review. So it's still very much helpful and very much appreciated, even if I'm not explicitly aware of exactly who's left reviews and what they've said. Hopefully in the future, we will have a much better tool for aggregating podcasts than iTunes. And already, I mean, there are way better tools out there. There are tons of podcatcher apps. But unfortunately, these days, a lot of places are still using iTunes directory for their podcasts. So until something else comes along, we're kind of stuck with it. So speaking of reviews, I do have a few specific people I want to thank. First, I want to thank Champagne Socialist for your 5-star review on iTunes. And Champagne Socialist says, I've been listening to the podcast since its earlier Numenera only content, and I have to say it has become just as much of a go-to for me as the source books or game master guides from any game system. Wow, thank you, Champagne Socialist. That is high praise. The talks are always succinct, if not always narrowly on topic. I love the freestyle of the episodes and have not been disappointed in any of the content. The guests have been really interesting and have led me to discover many other great gaming podcasts and new games. In the future, it would be great to hear war stories about amazing GMs, listeners, and guests have experience. In other words, one time our GM did blah, 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 blah. Definitely worth a listen, or better yet, subscribe. You won't be disappointed, and your players and GMs will be generously rewarded. So thank you very much for that excellent review, Champagne Socialists. I'm glad that the show is helpful to you, and I think your war stories idea is a great idea, because a lot of times, you know, when you're in person or even online, but, you know, when you're with people having conversations about role playing, a lot of times that's one of the topics that come up, right, is war stories about amazing GMs, amazing adventures you've been in, things like that, amazing characters. So, yeah, that would definitely be a fun thing to do in the future. I also want to thank Tom Chapman for his 5-star review on iTunes. Tom says, I have taken the font of knowledge provided by this podcast and have applied it to my games every week with outstanding success. The topics presented cover a wide variety, give a great introduction into unfamiliar games, and provide some of the best ideas for a system to give you ideas to make your own game better. The personal touch Lex gives by being fully interested in the topics he is interviewing on is appreciated and keeps the listener engaged. If there is a criticism he has on a gaming system, he presents it as his opinion and uses it to open a dialogue rather than shut listeners out. I'm really happy to hear that, Tom, because that's something I try very hard to do. I was on debate team in high school. And, you know, in my college years, I was always taught, you know, that opinions are basically meaningless. And, you know, unless you have facts to back up your opinion, it's just kind of noise. And because of this, I've learned from my wife that I tend to make very strong arguments. And sometimes people do feel shut down because they misread my passion for defending my point of view as not being willing to listen to other ideas. So I've been trying, especially on the show, I try very hard to not come across that way and to accurately label my opinions as opinions and not claim that they're facts when they're not. So I'm glad that's coming across the way I want it to. He also provides critiques of what he doesn't like with why he doesn't like it and provides a springboard on making it better. Thank you for a great show that I look forward to listening to. This is truly one of the first tabletop RPG podcasts that I enjoy listening to. Well, thank you, Tom, and you're very welcome. I love making this show, and I'm glad that it's a valuable resource for you. I'll do my best to keep doing that. And then we have another 5-star review from The Double B, who is Dubs from the Whiskey Rebellion podcast. So hi, Dubs. Thanks so much for your review. Dubs says, I just listened to episode 47 due to cross promotional interests, but I came away very impressed with your show. Your production quality is excellent, and I enjoy your laid back interviewing style. Your interest in the diversity of playstyles and GMing set you apart. Keep up the good work. Thank you. That's an awesome review. And finally, speaking of the Whiskey Rebellion, I also got a review from Kevin Loaded Dice. So thank you very much, Kevin, for your review. And Kevin says, love this podcast, love the topic, but how it is handled, the diversity of perspectives, and the fact that you always take away a helpful hint or eight really sets it apart. Lex does a great job with all of his podcasts, so not a surprise, but Game Master's Journey sure has my vote. So thank you, Kevin, and thank you, everyone, for your iTunes reviews. I really appreciate it. And I have one more review that I found over on Stitcher from John Doe 1972, who says, I've been playing and game mastering RPGs since 1986. So John Doe 1972 has been doing this a little bit longer than me. However, Lex is pointing out interesting ideas on how to run sessions, how to design adventures or campaigns, and how to make the game an overall fun hobby. In comparison to other role-playing podcasts, his show is well-structured, edited, and entertainingly presented. He does not only focus on one system and glorify it, but discusses several different systems. I hope this show will continue for a long time. So thank you, John Doe 1972. And this brings up a point that I think I have not mentioned on this show. I've talked about it before on GM Intrusions way, way long ago in the murky depths of time. But, you know, John mentions here how I don't just pick one system and glorify it. And I'm really happy to see John say that, because I have very strong beliefs and opinions about, you know, my role as a podcaster and how I am, for all intents and purposes, a type of journalist who is not only, you know, sharing my opinions and thoughts with you, but I'm also a lot of times, you know, sharing things that are happening or things that are out there, like gaming products. And in season 5 of the show, I'm going to start digging into some Game Master resources that I have learned about from various people that I've interviewed on the show. And I'm really looking forward to that. But anyway, my point is that I do not consider myself a fanboy, and I really hope I'm not a fanboy. And what I mean by that is, you know, just because I like something like D&D 5th Edition or Star Wars Edge of the Empire does not mean that I have to completely jump in bed and get married to that thing and never acknowledge or perceive any flaws in that thing. And, you know, this is something we see a lot online, is people who seem to think that in order to be a quote unquote fan of something, you have to love everything about it and you can't have any opinions on anything negative or less than complimentary of it. And these people tend to be very loud and outspoken and downright aggressive and militant to anyone who voices any kind of opinion that could be construed as saying something quote unquote bad about whatever the thing is that they love. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. You could probably name 5 people right now on Twitter or wherever that are like this, where, you know, you've got your D&D fanboys who, you know, as soon as you say thing one against D&D, they're going to war to defend this thing that they love. And, you know, that's fine if people want to be like that. I think it's pretty silly and naive personally. But, you know, everyone's free to do and think what they want, right? But as a podcaster, I feel that would be very disingenuous for me to be like that. I try to be more open-minded and more skeptical and more, I try to take off the blinders as much as I can. You know, just because I really like D&D 5th Edition doesn't mean that it's perfect. Doesn't mean that everybody involved with the project is perfect. Doesn't mean that there may not be things about it that really suck. Right? And as a podcaster, you know, I want to be as unbiased as I can, which obviously I can't be completely unbiased. Nobody can. But try to be as unbiased as I can and try to have a critical eye, even on, especially on things that I really like, so I'm not, you know, having these huge blind spots. So it makes me really happy that people notice that. And, you know, that's one of the real strengths of this show and this new format, as opposed to the predecessor, GM Intrusions, that was just one system. I mean, for one thing, there's a lot more people that could potentially be interested in this show because, you know, GM Intrusions, if you're not in the Cypher system, then you're probably not going to listen to it, right? But hopefully this show, I'm doing enough general things that even if you're not into any of the games that I'm playing right now, which I'm using as examples and talking points, you're still getting value out of the content, right? And as soon as I start putting the blinders on and just thinking that these game developers shit gold, you kind of lose that, right? I'm no longer a credible source, right? Maybe I've even been bought out. You know, maybe Wizards is sending me all kinds of free stuff. They're not. And so therefore, you know, the blinders are on even more. And I think that Wizards is awesome because they're giving me free stuff. So I try not to do that. And I will disclose, you know, if I'm going to talk about a product and I got it for free, I will let you know. My wife and I just had a conversation recently about whether or not, like, that's something you have to do. And I don't know if there's a quote unquote rule about it, but I've heard and seen other podcasters and bloggers say, you know, hey, full disclosure, I got a review copy of this thing I'm talking about. And I think that's cool and very above board to do that. So that's what I'm going to do. I don't know that it's necessarily wrong not to do that, but it's definitely more right to do it, right? Because if I got a thing for free, I'm probably a little more favorably disposed towards it, right? Which is not to say that my opinion is necessarily invalid, but it's something that you should know so that, you know, you can weigh my opinion accordingly, right? So I will let you know. Because I'm saying this because in season 5, I am going to start talking about products that I have received promotional copies of explicitly so I could talk about them on the show. But I will let you know. So before I bring Mark on the comm and start talking with him, I just want to remind you that you can visit StarWalkerStudios.com/GameMastersJourney/50 to find the show notes for this exact episode, or you can just go to StarWalkerStudios.com if you can't remember the whole thing. And it's easy to find Game Master's Journey and easy to find the most recent episode. And if you go in the show notes, I'll have contact information for Mark if you're interested with talking with him. And I will also have a link to GM Intrusions episode 69 entitled Discovery Through Combat, which we very briefly mentioned at some point in the interview. It might not even be in the part I'm playing today, I'm not sure. But that will be in the show notes if you hear that and you want to find out more about that. I will have it linked in the show notes for this episode and the next two episodes so that you don't have to go digging and finding the right episode of GM Intrusions that I was talking about. So without further ado, let's open those hailing frequencies. Mark Gerringer is joining me on the show today. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here and looking forward to the interview.
Well, I'm happy you're here too. And I think I'll start out with a question I used to always ask people on GM Intrusions, and lately I haven't been asking for some reason. But maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you got into RPGs and kind of your gaming history. Your gaming resume?
Sure, my gaming resume, no problem. So I have been in and out of RPGs for about 30 years. Started off, you know, pretty young, 9-10 years old, with the Benser Red Box. Some my cousin's cousins actually had it, and staying the night with them a couple of nights, and we ended up playing D&D, you know, into the wee hours of the morning.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then when I came home, you know, I was trying to recreate what I could from memory from that experience because it was so much fun, right? So that was kind of my first taste into RPGs. And then I kind of came back around to them after that through comic books. So I got into, you know, into comics for a while. And some of the comic book stores that I was going to also had, you know, role-playing games in them. And so, you know, picked up some Red Box of my own and kind of started down that road. And just kind of through, you know, exploration and curiosity of different things as I was growing up, got into more and different systems, trying different things out, graduating, you know, from kind of basic into advanced Dungeons and Dragons and things like that. Played around with some Palladium systems, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and
okay, yeah, yeah,
and, you know, all those kind of fun things. So, you know, fast forward into my early 20s, right around the time Third Edition was coming out, actually, I was really into programming multi-user dungeons. If oh, you know wow. those text-based games that used to be real popular, called MUDs.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So I used to do some programming work, you know, for several different projects like that, and also building. And of course, when you're building, you know, these virtual worlds, you need content from somewhere. And so inevitably we'd pillage stuff out of our D&D campaign and do that kind of thing. And but so I was really into that about the time third edition came around, and didn't really get on the boat for third edition. I was a big second edition player, kind of missed the boat on that.
Okay.
And then, you know, life kind of happens. Got married, have a kid, job, you know, all these kind of things. So role playing kind of took a back seat for a number of years.
Sure.
And then about 2009, met some people at the new job, and got introduced to Pathfinder, and then kind of just went whole hog into Pathfinder and coming back into the fold, so to speak. And then just kind of from there, I've been really excited recently with the fifth edition stuff, kind of coming out of being a heavy Pathfinder player. I'm kind of a system serial monogamist, I guess, when it comes to that. I can't you know, I have trouble keeping multiple rule sets in my head, I guess, as a GM. So I'll stick with one. Now I'm doing fifth edition. So Pathfinder's kind of getting left behind. I was trying to get into Numenera for a while, but just didn't really. I mean, the IP is amazing, but the game system itself, I think you'd kind of you've done a couple things recently where you're talking about different systems and kind of how the numbers break down and how the systems kind of break down, and pretty spot on, I think, from how I feel too about a lot of the systems, Numenera in particular, where it's kind of a lot of unnecessary weird math. And the thing that I just boggles my mind with that system is there's so many combat rules for a system where you don't get XP for fighting.
I know, right?
Like, I mean, there's a significant chunk of the book. It'd be like if you took the Pathfinder core rulebook and said, well, you know, spells are cute, but they don't really do anything for the game, you know, advancement wise. So here's a huge section of the book about spells, but it's not really, you know, vital to the leveling system. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, totally. I don't know if you listened to my old show, GM Intrusions, but I did a whole episode about that. I think it was called Discovery Through Combat, because, you know, Numenera's claim is that it's all about discovery.
Right.
But what I did in that episode is I went through all of the character abilities and I counted how many of them were combat only or mainly combat abilities compared to ones that weren't. And it was the vast majority
was combat.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. I don't think I heard that one. I did, but that was how I came originally to find your feed, was when I was starting to check out Numenera and looking for some, you know, podcasts that talked about it and stuff. And so I had listened to, you know, cherry picked some of the old GM Intrusion stuff, but very happy with the change of format. It's been nice to hear, you know, talk about different systems and stuff like that. And I've for my system monogamy, I have been very curious and checking out a lot of different systems lately, it seems, but I can't really bring myself to run more than one system, I think, is what it comes down to, even though, you know, there are different interesting things in lots of different systems, right? The Edge of the Empire stuff you've been talking about. We had, with my group, we had a similar experience when the first Edge basic box came out. You know, we kind of sat down and ran through that starting adventure, and everybody was kind of like, wow, this is potentially really, really cool. And, you know, there was a lot of buy-in there because, of course, everybody loves Star Wars, right? I mean,
pretty much.
It's hard to go wrong with Star Wars. So. But we were heavily into a Pathfinder game at the time, and it's just like, man, I can't, you know, I'm having enough trouble getting our twice a week, or every 2 week game,
right,
going to think about switching one of those out to a Star Wars game, or trying to make, you know, stories in both. And so, like, I just, you know, I don't have that kind of bandwidth to do that. And so with Force and Destiny coming out though, and the new movie coming out, I think the next time around when our group goes to pitch, we kind of have a round robin pitch system going on right now. Where we take turns GMing and kind of, you know, who has the best pitch, and people vote for what they want to play.
Oh, cool.
So probably next time around, I probably will pitch a Star Wars game, I think, is kind of, because I there is, you know, we've all been kind of like on the fringes of that idea. Like, I think Star Wars is, it's almost time for us to do that.
Yeah.
And I think once it comes back around, it'll be right after probably the movie. Probably about January time that pitch goes out. So it'll be, you know, that'll be the right time to.
Yeah, definitely.
To really get all the hearts and minds on that one. So
that's really cool. It seems like every in-person group I've ever been in, as soon as I said I really prefer the GM guys, I was just always the GM. I've never been in a group where we could do that, like vote on here's my pitch for the game I want to run and here's mine. Right. And which do you like?
Well, this is the first group that, you know, in all these years, right? This is probably the first group that I think this has ever happened with. And it's because I've got some great guys. We're six or seven, depending. But out of that, you know, there's four of us that are very comfortable with running stuff. But even in that group for a long time, I was kind of still the primary GM, and just from habit, right? It's always, I'm always the GM. I'm, you know, I've got my stories and you guys make characters and here's what we're going to do. And we're going to just keep doing that. And, one of the guys approached me at a certain point and was like, hey, I'd really like a chance to show you what I've got. I've got plenty of previous experience GMing and et cetera. And sure thing, man, you know what, go, let's do that. And then it just kind of evolved over time from that, because two of the other guys also had, you know, previous experience running for their own groups in the past and stuff like that. And then we finally kind of came around to we were trying a straight round robin for a while.
Okay.
And that wasn't as good. It wasn't as good, I think, because then it was like, well, so if I run for 6 months and then the next guy runs for 6 months and the next guy runs for 6 months, but, you know, nobody's really into that middle game per se,
right.
But it was his turn, you know, then there's a lack of interest there. And so we came around with this idea of, okay, well, you know what, we're going to have, we're wrapping up this campaign. We're going to have pitch night. You get, you know, you get your 5 minutes to pitch plus questions. And then at the end we vote. And, this is the third, I think this is the third or fourth time that we've done it now. And, it's been great. It really has. It's very liberating to get a chance to play and then give me time to also feel like I can work on a good pitch instead of, oh my God, this campaign's over, let me scramble to get the next one,
right,
you know, started and kind of go from there. So if you got the resources to do it, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I like what you said about being a serial monogamous. That's a great term. I'm pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
And for me, like right now I'm running a D&D 5th edition campaign and I'm getting ready to start an Edge of the Empire campaign. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll be okay with those because they're so different. But I think if I were trying to run like, say, D&D or Pathfinder and then like 13th Age,
right,
it would just be a mess because I would be confusing rules from one to the other. And yeah,
that's, and even coming out of Pathfinder into 5th, it still to me is that kind of like, well, is this right? Is this the is this the right rule, or am I remembering from the other thing?
I have the same thing with 5th because I played 3rd, I played 3.5, I played Pathfinder. So something comes up in 5th, and sometimes I'm like, okay, this is how I think it works, but I'm not sure if that's Pathfinder or 3rd edition or 5th edition.
I know it's a rule. Where did it come from? Right.
And they're all so similar that it's really easy to get confused.
Well, so in the this month's errata, I didn't even realize, you know, they came out and said like delay isn't a thing in 5th edition.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like, oh, really? Because we've been using it all the time.
Right, because in Pathfinder you do that, right?
Right. It makes sense in those systems. Like, yeah, sure. We know how delay works. Yeah. You want to go on a different initiative? Cool. Just let me know when you want to jump back in and you can do that. And the 5th edition devs were like, no, we didn't design it that way. We don't want that.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll try to remember to stop doing that when people ask then. But it's a thing where for people who maybe play 3X or Pathfinder are used to doing that. And, you know, they roll up and they want to play a game at a con and they're like, hey, I'm not sure. Maybe I'll delay. Yeah, cool. No problem. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah. I like their reasoning behind that, which if I remember right, part of it was just making things a little easier for the GM because you don't have initiative changing.
Right.
And then the other thing was that, you know, you could kind of game that with the way the spell durations work.
The way some of the spell durations work. Yeah. Yeah. The answer I thought actually was right. Like, yeah, you know, you're right. You guys, it makes sense. I'll just have to try to remember to say no next time when somebody asks.
Well, it's funny because I noticed that too, because I was kicking around the idea of trying to use Edge of the Empire's initiative system in D&D because I really like it. And then when I read that, I was like, oh, so that actually won't work. I'm glad I read this because that would have been a huge mess.
Yeah, that would have been a train wreck, right?
Yeah. And I wouldn't have realized until we were in the middle of a session and people start, you know, gaming it for their spells. And I'm like, oh, crap, what have I done?
Right.
Retcon, guys.
Right. Like, you know that thing we said? We're not going to do that anymore. The Edge of the Empire, in the Star Wars system, that initiative system is really interesting. The way that they break that up, that's really cool. And it's neat. I'd like to try to play or, you know, cobble together sometime, I think, a system that was like the best of all these things, right? Like you'd have that initiative system and you have the advantage disadvantage system from 5e and maybe the skill system or, you know, the combat maneuver system from Pathfinder or whatever you like out of there or something. That, like, what would that Frankenstein be like? Yeah. Would it be any good? I guess probably not, you know, but
maybe
fun to try. It'd be fun to try.
I would grab from Pathfinder the way you can swap out like racial and class abilities for different things. I really like that. I love that.
They did a lot of cool stuff with that. In 13th Age, the escalation die thing to me is like amazing. Like, right, you don't want this boring combat to keep going on. We'll just keep cranking up the damage every round, and that'll end things quicker.
Yeah, I think if I did that, I'd be really tempted to use it for the NPCs, though, too.
Yeah, I would want to use it for the NPCs, too. Like, it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander.
Yeah, exactly. Let's really up the pucker factor here.
Right.
Texas Beard Company is sponsoring this episode of Game Master's Journey. Texas Beard Company makes all natural beard care products produced by hand in Texas. And if you visit their website, texasbeardcompany.com, and use the coupon code GAMEMASTER at checkout, you will receive 15% off of your entire order. And you can use that code every time you order something from Texas Beer Company. Also, they give you free shipping on all orders over $25. I use their products myself. Specifically, I use their beard oil every day. I'm currently using their Big Thicket beard oil, which has a nice cedar and pine scent to it. And I have very sensitive skin, and I have to be very careful what I put on my skin, especially my face, and I have no problems at all with their beard oil. I love it. So visit texasbeardcompany.com, coupon code GAMEMASTER. So I realize now a lot of my questions are regarding things you've done with Pathfinder.
Yep.
But you're not really playing Pathfinder anymore. So would you rather talk about something else?
No, I can. I mean, I totally can. It was weird because I did these games at Gen Con in 5e.
Okay.
Games that I, you know, from some material that I wrote, trying to introduce myself to players and level set the expectations and stuff. And, like, you know, I'm kind of introducing myself as a reforming Pathfinder player. Right? It's like I'm getting, you know, I'm kind of in transition switching systems, but I do have, I mean, I have a lot of, you know, I have a lot of love for Pathfinder. I have a lot of love for the folks at Paizo, because I was able to, you know, not only get some incredible gaming out of the system, but also personally, I was able to meet a lot of people, network a lot, make a lot of new friends, get some professional writing credits, you know, all these kind of things. It's amazing. But it is kind of an evolution for me of moving on to something different. And just, you know, and I hate to, like, I don't want to say bad stuff, but if you look at the amount of material that is available right now versus, you know, the 3.5 kind of where it was in the heyday, where it reached its breaking point and all this kind of stuff, like, there's a, you know, there's a pretty straight line between those two things.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate where they are doing good work. You know, they are putting out cool stuff. They do have a good system. But when you listen to, you know, Mike Merrills and Jeremy Crawford talk about how they want to approach their adventure paths, right? Their published adventure material, and basically kind of taking that Magic the Gathering approach of, well, this is what we consider to be legal for this adventure. Like, that makes a whole heck of a lot of sense, instead of trying to reconcile the core rulebook plus the APG plus all the ultimate books plus, right, you know, all this player companion line stuff, all of which is super cool. But man, that's a lot of stuff to take into account. Yeah. And then for a GM, and then for players to, you know, to try to build something that's quote effective, there's a lot of opportunity for breakage. And it just happens. I mean, power creep and all that escalation stuff just happens naturally through that kind of publishing cycle. But at the same time, you know, they want to eat. So, right, you know, what do you like, you know, who's to say that they're wrong, right? They're putting out good material that people are buying. So right, that's cool. But maybe for me, it is time to change gears a little bit and start, you know, looking at something else. But right now, that's more just on the personal side, right? On the professional side, I had a great time, you know, re-engaging with Paizo folks at Gen Con and keeping those feelers open for possibly doing more work and stuff like that. But I'm also very anxious to find out what the 5th edition OGL equivalent is going to be, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be, you know, there's some floodgates that are getting ready to open there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to get some stuff published or write something cool, you know, for 5th edition. You know, maybe that time is coming. So,
well, I think if you're running a game at Gen Con or whatever, instead of saying I'm a reformed Pathfinder GM, I think a different tact you could say or take is, okay, guys, I used to run Pathfinder, so I am ready for all your bullshit. There's nothing you can right, throw at me that I cannot handle.
Right. You cannot trick me.
It's, yeah, 5e right, is a walk in the park compared to running Pathfinder. I could do this in my sleep.
it really is. I mean, it's my go-to after doing it at Gen Con for these. I was real concerned about kind of getting back into coming from PFS and kind of having these, you know, random table compositions, right? You go to the game store and a random table of guys and gals show up and they play, and you might see them again, you might not see them again. It might be their first time. They might be better. You know, you have no idea.
Right. Yeah.
And after a while, I got pretty burnt out of doing that. You know, there's definitely some comfort in running for your home group and, you know, and knowing kind of that character development, what's going on with this guy, what's going on with this gal,
right, yeah,
that kind of stuff. There's definitely something to be said for that. And so I was very hesitant to kind of get into running games at Gen Con, kind of back into that format, right, of just who knows who's going to show up and whether they've played before or whether they're power gamers or whether they're whatever.
Right.
But I had a great time running this year, the 5e stuff, because it was so like on the fly, kind of easy to arbitrate and just kind of roll with whatever crazy thing they wanted to do. You know, part of my intro speech to them was explaining how inspiration worked and what sort of things I was looking for to award it. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was like, mainly I'm looking at your flaws, right? I did all the pre-gens and I looked at them all and I knew all the flaws for everybody. And so if I see you role playing your flaws up really well, I'm going to give you inspiration. Or if you're heroically, stupidly jumping off of stuff, I'm going to probably give you inspiration. You're probably going to take falling damage,
right,
but you're
right,
probably going to get inspiration for that. So that's a thing that always warms my heart when PCs are heroically jumping off of stuff stupidly. Like that means you're in the middle of the action. You want to be where the action is and you don't care how you get there. So right on, let's do that. So that, and they took that to heart, you know, so it had a lot of falling damage. I awarded a lot of inspiration, so it was good times.
Yeah, I love inspiration for that. I love it when a game has a mechanic where you as a GM can just reward whatever you see that you like, you know, whether right, it's people doing things that are funny or people just throwing caution to the wind and being heroic or whatever, you know, that you can say as an individual, I like that. I want to see more of that. So here's a little bonus for you.
Yep. I think it was one of the episodes of yours that I had listened to that were kind of like talking about, you know, what should you award inspiration for and whatnot. And that kind of got me thinking in those terms going into Gen Con of like being very clear with the players, like, here's what I'm looking for to award it on, right? Yeah. I don't want it to be this kind of arbitrary guessing game where in a home game you would learn over time and you know your GM and
right.
things yeah. like that. But at a con game, right, you have no idea. So be very explicit, like, hey guys, this is the kind of stuff I'm looking for, right? Jump off of stuff. Be crazy. Do, you know, just have fun with it. And that really set a good tone, I think, for a lot of cool stuff. So it sounded like, you know, from the feedback I got from the people who played, they had a great time. I know I had a great time. So definitely, I'm actually looking forward to heading up to Fort Wayne in October for 3Con, a little convention called 3Con. And I'm putting together a new 5e adventure for that I'm going to run up there and hopefully have a good time with some players. So
are you in Indiana or are you traveling?
No, I'm in Indianapolis.
Oh, I just moved away from Fort Wayne.
Right. You just moved away. Right. Cause I was thinking that I might actually catch up with you at Gen Con.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
And then no, I'm moving back to Seattle. Like, oh, well, all right.
Well, that's hilarious. Cause, Scott that I just talked to the last couple episodes, he's in, I think he's in Bloomington.
Is he? Okay, because I forgot from the first part of the interview, but I know because I was listening to the new episode today, and he said something about that his degree was from Purdue. And yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Well, so you only interview people from Indiana, or what's
the deal? Yeah, it's so weird that it worked out like that. I think there's gaming, a lot of gaming in Indiana, because there's not a whole lot else to do.
Yeah, that's the Midwest, so, you know.
Yeah, I went through this thing with my parents when I started playing D&D in high school. You know, at first my mom was all worried because that was during the time when, you know, there's all this talk of people worshiping Satan while they're playing D&D or whatever. Yep. But then she ultimately liked it because instead of going out to parties or whatever else other teenagers were doing, I was, you know, playing D&D with my friends in the wee hours of the morning. And
right. She knew exactly where to find you. Right.
Yeah. 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 And I usually ran the game, so it was usually at my house. So
yeah, yep. It's a very similar story for me. Like right at the kind of the end of that is when I was getting my books and stuff, and I remember kind of having those talks with my parents, and they were more concerned about me not doing my schoolwork than that I was off worshiping devils or sacrificing children or so, you know, none of that nonsense. They were more concerned that I wasn't actually doing my schoolwork. So
yeah. And then I got into Vampire when I was in college, and there was something, I think it was in Florida, of course it was in Florida, but there was something, there's something about people playing Vampire like in the sewer or something, and they were like doing like blood sports and stuff.
Oh wow.
And so they were like taking LARP to a whole new level where they were right. actually injuring each other. And my mom heard about that on like 2020 or something, and she was all calling me like, "You're not bleeding or each other, are right. you?
You're not doing this thing, are you?" Like, well, no.
It's like, no, we just pretend. We're playing pretend. Right. We aren't actually trying to make it real.
Right. We're the good vampires. Mom.
That's right. That's right.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's always a good time talking with the parents about that stuff. So.
And nowadays, I imagine that if I have some younger listeners, they might be listening to this being like, what?
Right.
That just sounds insane.
You guys used to do what? Like, yeah. Don't worry about it, kids. It was a different time, out of proportion.
Guys.
That's right. It's different times back then. So
people used to freak out about RPGs. Now it's video games.
Now it's video games, right. They're the evil. So...
Well, that is going to wrap up episode 50 of Game Master's Journey. If you'd like to reach me, you can email me at gamemastersjourney@gmail.com. please follow me on Google Plus. Just search for Lex Starwalker. And please follow me on Twitter at Lex Starwalker. You can follow Mark Gerringer on Google Plus. Just search for Mark Gerringer. That's Garringer. And visit the show notes for this episode at starwalkerstudios.com, where I will have Mark's email address if you would like to email him. Also in the show notes, you will find lots of great ways that you can help support this show and support the studio, including a button that will take you to my Patreon page where you can give monthly support and get some cool little thank yous from me for doing so. Also, you'll find the donate button, iTunes and Stitcher buttons if you'd like to subscribe and or leave a review. And at the bottom of the show notes, you will find a link to our Google Plus community where you can connect with other gamers and listeners of the show. You will also find links to my YouTube and Twitch channels, a link to a free 30-day trial of Audible books, courtesy of Game Master's Journey, and finally, my Amazon referral link. I hope that you have a chance to play your favorite RPG this week. I will be back next week with another episode of Game Master's Journey. Until then, game on.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts.
This episode's music provided by Cloudwalker, Renfield, Tranceboy, and Ish. Please see the show notes for more details at starwalkerstudios.com/gamemastersjourney.